I'm actually kind of a little surprised at how many people are still here. There's a lot to go through here, and so I'm going to move a little quick, but hopefully not too fast. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors real quick, Cliff Boykin, who I was working with in Stoneville, and especially Vicky Martin, Ed Barnes, who I know often we thank Cotton Incorporated and say thanks for the money, but in this case, Cotton Inc. actually did a lot of the work and then threatened my life. So Sawtype 1 cleaning, we're all familiar with it. It's very effective cleaner, but the problem is there is a loss of quality fiber, meaning that we do remove some good fiber, we think. There's also a damage to quality fiber, meaning some fibers get broken and stay in the bale. Sawtype 1 cleaner, we're all fairly familiar with. There's an actual picture of one in the Microgen at Stoneville with a nice plexiglass cover on it so you can see what's going on the inside. I'm going to look at two different studies, but the same varieties were used in both studies. This is three varieties grown in Stoneville back during 2007, all Delta Pines, 117, 164, and 444. We had a lot of it, so they were convenient to use, and they actually represent a pretty good cross-section of cleanability of cottons. Just look at the control fiber properties. This is, you know, a standard ginning cycle with a one lint cleaner with all the louvers active. And you can see there's nothing too extreme about these cottons. These are just good average cottons, fairly uniform. That's indicative of just how good a job the gin lab does. Why are we looking at lint cleaner waste? Well, lint tells part of the story. Granted, that's what we, you know, sell, but whatever goes in the moat pile, you're not getting paid for. In fact, you're going to have to incur some expense to get rid of it. And of course, every farmer would like to see less white in the lint, in the moat pile if he can. So what's being removed? How much and how good is it? What's the quality of it as well as the quantity? The quantity is relatively easy. You do a mass balance. You know how much clean lint you've got coming out. You know how much lint cleaner waste you have coming out. So you pretty much know how much material the lint cleaner is removing. If you want to get a little bit more in depth, the most common thing is to use a Shirley analyzer, which is a fairly aggressive card cylinder or gin cylinder, depending on how you look at it. It's a sawtooth cylinder. There's also some pneumatic sorters out there that run the air, a high air current through the trash, separating out lint and non-lint content. Doesn't tell you much other than how much there is. If you want to know a description of the quality, you have to look more at a little bit more in depth. When you look at the lint that's removed, is there lint attached to waste? In the case of seed coat fragments, you're going to have fiber attached to the seed coat. If you didn't get that seed coat out, the mills are going to be unhappy, so it's worth it to lose that fiber probably to lose that seed coat. If the lint's not attached to the waste, if it's short fiber, great. It was decreasing the value of the bale, so good to get it out of there. If it was long fiber that you took out, well, that was increasing the value of the bale, and by removing that, you just decrease the value of the bale. Again, Shirley Analyzer and pneumatic source, they don't tell you anything other than you have this much lint, this much non-lint, but nothing about the quality of the lint. The most common method we use for that is, on the lint side, is the aphis. But anyone who's looked at lint knows that lint is like 97, 98, 99% lint and the rest non-lint content, and lint cleaner waste is about the opposite. So before we throw this lint cleaner waste at an aphis, do we need to do any preparation to it? When I told Ooster I was planning on putting lint cleaner waste through their aphis, they said, well, you can't do that. It's not going to work. What do you have to lose? Everyone's fairly familiar with lint cleaner waste. You know, that's what we're getting at the Microgen Stoneville. Lots of seed coats, lots of neps, lots of moats, lots of every other kind of trash you can imagine. We're looking at, like I said, two different studies. The first one I reported last year at the Beltwide here, which was the effect of different components. No grid bars, one grid bar, two grid bars, five grid bars. And we looked at the lint last year. The second one I presented, I believe, at the ASABE conference last year. And it was looking at a wire brush replacement for grid bars. But all we're going to look at today is the lint cleaner waste. In the first study, what we did to look at the lint cleaner waste was Shirley Analyzer. Give us the lint and non-lint content, plus it does an invisible waste, and that's because you put 100 grams of material in, you weigh your lint, you weigh your non-lint, and it never adds up to 100. Sometimes it's more, but usually it's less, and that's considered to be really a dust measurement. The other thing we did is we actually had a technician hand sort the lint, into three categories. Clean, free lint. When he picked up a fiber with a pair of tweezers, It came out freely. It was not physically wrapped around a piece of trash. It was not physically attached to a piece of seed coat. He also looked at clean, free, non-lint. This is bark, leaf, whatever, but with no lint attached to it. And then the third category was it's non-lint, but it's also got lint attached to it. And that's the sort of lint that you really do want to lose at the lint cleaner. And then we looked at this material with the aphis. Both we put the material right into the aphis with no preparation, and then we also took the hand-sorted lint, which to do a repetition on the aphis takes a half a gram of fiber. So we decided to do 3 reps per sample, and that was 1.5 grams of lint. It took the technician anywhere from 3 days to 6 days to get 1.5 grams of lint, clean free lint, per sample. Retired postal employee, nice guy. hasn't gone crazy yet. The second method, we decided, okay, hand sorting was extraordinarily tedious, and so we used 2 instruments that are actually no longer manufactured, one being the MTM, the Micro Dust and Trash Monitor, the other being the MDTA-3, which Cotton Incorporated has in storage and had taken out, and Vicky mistakenly told me this, so her technicians were kind enough to run this for us. Then they told me the technician has a concealed carry permit, and so a few bribes of chocolate were sent in the mail, and she stopped threatening me for now. Here we ran aphis with, again, no preparation. We ran the sample, the lint cleaner waste, through the MTM and took the clean lint from the MTM, ran it through the aphis, and then we followed up the MTM with the MDTA-3 and ran that through the aphis. Some of you may not be familiar with the aphis Pro. The aphis Pro does have a cleaning action to it. It's got a pin perforated cylinder and a pin cylinder, and it's actually got a little card flat on it, and basically it uses centrifugal action to separate lint from non-lint. When we're putting in the lint cleaner waste, we're assuming that whatever goes to the lint cleaner, to the lint sensor, is cleaned lint, some of which the aphis has actually cleaned up for us in a manner similar to the Shirley analyzer. Shirley analyzer is very aggressive. So we looked at the MTM, which instead of having that sawtooth wire, uses fillet wire. So it's kind of like a slicker brush you use to comb a dog. It's a lot more flexible and a lot more forgiving, and the thought was here it should do less damage to the fiber. When you look at Shirley analyzer data, a lot of times that non-lint content is really clean. So it did a nice job of finishing the ginning process on that seed coat. And so that's going to be a little biased. And you can see here, there's actually, unlike the aphis, there's 2 card flat sections here and 2 fillet wire rolls. In the first study, looking at hand sorted versus no preparation. The hand sorted data, what was interesting is he was able to recover somewhere between 98 and 99% of the material. So 1 to 2% was just dust that was lost in the lab. If there's a letter that's different behind the number, that means there's a statistical difference. So for those who like statistics, there you go. Basically, we found with no grid bars, and this was just the feed works, there was less than 5% clean, free lint in the waste stream. With all 5 grid bars active, 13% of the material was clean, free lint. Not saying anything about the quality of that lint, just that it was free lint. About 26% to 37% was free non-lint, with the balance being around 60% of the material being lint attached to non-lint. That's pretty surprising. If you look at the bottom here, what you have is Shirley analyzer data. They said this is much more aggressive. This says that between 9 and 15% of the material was lint, and 80 to 85% was non-lint. So you can see that if you look at the hand sorted data, you can tell that the Shirley analyzer did a really thorough job of separating out some of that lint off the non-lint content, which kind of biases your results. Here we're looking at some selected aphis data, in particular short fiber content, upper quartile length, and fineness and maturity. With no preparation, we had between 15 and 11% short fiber, which that seems kind of low, actually, and pretty decent upper quartile length. When we looked at the hand sorted, we saw those numbers were a little higher. So this again indicates, is there a bias to the machine? And the answer is we're not really sure. Again, Ooster said you can't do this. We were overwhelming the machine by about 90% over their limit. If we look at the NEP and seed coat data and trash, you can see here that for the no preparation, the values are roughly half for most things, for NEPs. meaning that, again, the APHIS with no preparation is removing a lot of that. It's sending those NEPs into the waste stream and not past the sensors, and it's not counting it. When we hand sorted, we got much higher, probably more accurate reading of what we were looking at. And the second one, we said, okay, hand sorting, very tedious. Let's look at mechanical sorting, because I don't think we can convince people to spend 3 days per sample figuring out what they have. Compared to the data with hand sorted, here you can see MTM gives you a little bit more information. You've got a total foreign matter, which for the two treatments, it saw 56 to 74% total foreign matter. But of that, some of that is microdust, some of that is fiber fragments, so short fibers, if it's really short. But the MTM is going to do some damage. MDTA3, again, was done after the MTM, and you can see here it's saying that what was sent to the MDTA3 was 96% lint, which means the MTM did a pretty good job of cleaning up that lint and trash. If you look at the APHIS data, the top table here, and this is just short fiber content, upper quartile, and finest maturity ratio, is with no preparation, and then we have both the MTM data and after the MDTA3. You'll see the short fiber content much higher for MTM, much higher for MDTA3 than for no preparation. That may be an indication of the damage that the MTM and MDTA3 are doing. More work is needed. With that increased short fiber content, as you would expect, upper quartile length dropped significantly in the sample. Interestingly enough, though, the fineness also dropped, as did the maturity ratio. It's probably indicative, again, of damage, but that's something that actually Rick Beiler and I are still trying to figure out, is how do these numbers relate to what we see. So what do we learn? Not a whole lot, to be honest. What we learned is, you know, we already knew, lint cleaner waste tells an important part of the story. The mass balance, quick and easy, but you need to know more about the quality of the lint. Mechanical sorting provides very useful information. How much is lint? How much is non-lint? Hand sorting shows that not all that lint's going to be recoverable. It's okay to have, you know, lint in your waste pile if it's low quality, if it's seed coat. Coming with more of a textile background, the last thing we want is seed coat in the gin. It's a pain in the butt, and the mills don't like paying for material they have to remove and throw out. The APHIS actually appears to perform perfectly adequately on the raw material. You'll have to clean your APHIS often. Your technicians will hate you. It can do some damage to the machine if you're not careful. However, it was the fastest method we had. It was the lowest impact, and it did seem to do a good job of actually separating lint from non-lint more effectively than any other technique. Again, I'd like to acknowledge Cotton Incorporated for both funding and providing access to the equipment. Like I said, the MTM and MTDA3 have been out of production for a good 10 to 15 years. Eddie Horton at Stoneville, who's also funded by Cotton Incorporated, can't thank him enough for the hand sorting of the data. And Regina Horton, no relation, at Cotton Incorporated, who does carry concealed carry permit, so think carefully before sending her samples. So with that, 42 seconds.
Thank you.
Is there a quick question? I'm gonna go, Alex? Chris, I mean, do you see her trying to go towards a standard method of research to use when we look at what's happening in lint cleaners?
Yeah, I think you have to. We have to find a way to really rapidly but accurately assess what's going on in the lint cleaner. Like I said, I mean, almost every method is biasing the results just by merely observing it. Because if that lint is attached to the seed coat, we want it gone. But most of the techniques are ginning that lint off that seed coat, and then we're testing that lint, and we're going to get a bias. You saw, I mean, short fiber content jumped. But just because it's long fiber, if it's on that seed coat, we want it gone.
So how far do you think we are away from having something that we can all agree on as a method to use?
Isn't it put 12 ginners in a room and get 13 opinions? So I don't know. That's a good question.